Talking today with Mr. Steve Swofford from the Noble Research Institute, he talked about healthy soil and building resilient soil and why those two things go hand in hand. So Mr. Swofford, could you tell us a little bit about what healthy soil looks like and what resilient soil looks like and kind of what the similarities are there?
Well, a healthy soil is one that typically has a very dark color to it. It smells earthy. It has lots of biological activity in it, and it's porous. There's lots of air space between the soil particles, and those are the characteristics that also make it resilient, make it infiltrate water down through the soil profile, through those root channels, or through those air spaces between the soil particles. And that's also what helps it be resilient to drought, because it's now holding more water. So resilience comes from healthy soils, and healthy soils build resilient soils. So it's sort of a circular system.
And you talked about the five soil health principles for producers that are looking to improve the health of their soils. Can you go a little more into depth for that for people that weren't able to come today?
Sure, there are five soil health principles. They are: cover your soil, minimize disturbance, keep a living plant or a living root growing in the soil as much as possible, integrate livestock, and adding diversity in plants and animals to the landscape, so that you're having more than just one type of plant or more than just one type of livestock out there. But the other piece of the five soil health principles is context, understanding how those are going to apply on your own farm and ranch. You can't write a recipe for this. You have to actually go out and understand how your soil is going to react to how you implement these principles.
And on that same note, for people that, you know, are looking at their soil to see what they might need to start working with, what do they need to look for? What does healthy soil look like or smell like? Or
so the first thing that they need to do is they need to look down and determine what percent of their soil is bare, not covered with anything. And you should strive to be 90% covered or more, or less than 10% exposed soil. That's pretty difficult at times, particularly like now when we have a drought. You're not able to grow very much, but that's a big one, is to keep that soil covered. Typically, we want to see a dark brown color to healthy soil. And then it's gonna smell like an earthy vegetable smell. It's not going to smell like metal, or it's not going to smell like manure or some other sulfur-based compound. It's going to smell like the earth is what we're after.
And we all know that nitrogen is a super important component in the soil. You talked about the benefits of carbon. Can you go a little more into depth about that?
Sure. As we add carbon to the system, we build organic matter, and that organic matter is typically that top 8 inches of soil, and it can be as small as one, but that organic matter is what is putting carbon into the soil. And for each percentage of organic matter that we build into the soil, we'll liberate anywhere between 20 and 30 pounds of nitrogen. So essentially, the carbon is giving us free nitrogen. Free nitrogen, this day and age, is something that everybody wants.
For cattle producers that may just be running cattle on their property, you know, you talked about how it's important to integrate other species, maybe. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about why and what the benefits of having more than one species on your property might be?
Sure. So the various forage types really fit well with different types of grazing livestock. So a cow is mostly going to focus on grasses, but a sheep, for instance, will focus on what a lot of people call weeds, but they're forbs, and they're a broader leaf type of pasture plant that we see. Goats can actually feed on woody species. So if you're having a problem with poison sumac, for instance, bring some goats in and they'll knock that sumac down for you. Or if you're having problems with, name the tree species, whether it be cedars or some sort of other hardwood, they'll come in and they'll eat that before they eat the grasses and before they eat the forbs.
Awesome. Well, for people that are wanting to look into implementing some of these practices, where can they go for more information?
Yeah, the Noble Research Institute is in process of developing lots of information and products. So you can go to noble.org for our information, but NRCS, the State Conservation Commission, the State Association of Conservation Districts are all good places to look for soil health information.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Swofford.
Thank you.